we have one expectation. He's the one who came, died, was buried, rose again according to scriptures. Right now, he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's living in us through the Holy Spirit. He is there giving gifts. What else is he doing? He is preparing a place for us so that where he is, we may be also. He's coming back again.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Joint Impact by Pastor Abaddon Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Now you know, with power being out, it is kind of interesting. You put one candlelight on and then it lights up the room, but then put 20 candlelights and you realize how quickly the whole place is flooded with lights. You see, so also when the church comes together, we are individuals, we can do much, but when we come together, we make a joint impact, which is far greater than anything that we can do on our own. In fact, that's how God has designed the church to be. It brings glory to God when we work together through Christ, who is our head, when we work together through him in worship, in nurture, in witness. It's a joint impact. There's so much more we can do. And God is glorified when we do that. You see, what we do is we focus on our individual Christian life. My growth, my worship, my witness. But if you read the Bible, especially the New Testament, it was never just you and your relationship with God in this world. It was us. We is the cry in the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles with you today, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's going to talk about this in quite detail. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Different people have different gifts coming together for the greater good of God's body, Christ's body, the church. Now drop down to verse 16, but we're going to look at some of the other verses in the message. What is the result? From whom? From Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. I want you to remember that, because that is really the crux of the message. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Take a deep breath now. It seems like Paul has a run-on sentence. He just keeps on talking, putting commas and commas and commas, but there's more that is happening here. Paul is telling us that when we come together with Christ as our head, work together, in the process we not only edify each other, worship God, but we grow. We grow in numbers. The question this morning for you and for me is, what is your role in the church body? Now, Paul is primarily talking about the universal church, the church that Christ built that is beyond this congregation. There are other churches in this town, in this community, in this nation, in this world, that is the universal church, but also the local church. This body of believers, what is your role in this body? What is your gift? You know, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift. That's much more than talent. We'll talk about that. What is your gift? What is it that he has equipped you to do? Are you saved? Because unless you're saved, you're not part of the body of Christ. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and now you're part, not only of this local body, but the universal body of believers. And if you don't know Christ, today give your life to Him. Ask Him to save you. Tell Him to come into your life. Now, this is again one of those foundational messages that I told you about that we prayerfully decided needed to be preached once we got into the new sanctuary. Now, one of the foundational beliefs of Clearview, or of our church, is that God has given each of us in this church body a particular gift through Christ that is meant to help us grow together in Christ and win the world to Him. All of us have certain gifts. And until each of us actively seeks that gift, when do you get the gift? When you get saved. Until you actively seek that gift, recognize it, and use it, our church will never be able to live up to the potential God has for us. And not just the local church, this body of believers, but also the universal church, we will never be where we need to be unless you start using the gifts God has given to you. When do you get those gifts? The moment you get saved. The Holy Spirit supernaturally gives you those gifts. Now, the passage we just read comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Let me say something about this because it's going to help you understand this letter better. Scholars have long argued over what is the purpose behind Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Is it to clarify some doctrine? Is it to clear up some misunderstanding about salvation or justification or some ecclesiology? What is Paul's purpose? Is it to confront some heresy in the church? What is Paul's purpose? Is it to promote unity between Jews and Gentiles? Is it to tell the church not to give in to evil powers? If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about that, and 5 as well. What is Paul's real purpose? I believe his purpose is to call the Ephesians to come together as a body with Christ as the head and work together in ministry and so bring glory to God and, listen, make a joint impact in worship, in nurture, and in witness. I know that's a mouthful. So let's look at it step by step. How did Paul do this? Just in this passage, he does it by reminding them of three things. Number one, he reminds them of our common bond. You see, as believers in this local body and in the universal body, we have a common bond. Some things that hold us together. I mean, think about it. Why are you here? I mean, what brought you here? It is a certain set of beliefs that we hold on to that compels us to come and be here. By the way, why are you here and not at another church? Don't get any ideas. I mean, why are you at Clearview? Because there are certain foundational beliefs that we hold on to together. In fact, it's a seven-tiered or seven-layered foundation that Paul gives us that I believe at this church we hold on to. And we're not the only ones. There are thousands upon thousands who hold on to the same thing. What are those foundational beliefs? Number one, Ephesians 4:4, Paul says there is one body. There is one body. Now, folks, there are many denominations. There are many churches. But there is one universal body of believers, God's family, God's church. At the same time, we have a local body right here that has chosen to come together based on the style of the music, based on the preaching, based on the ministries. We have chosen to be this one body. What else? That's just one. One spirit. There is one body and one spirit. Who is the spirit? The spirit of the Holy Spirit. The same spirit that came inside of me when I received Jesus as my Savior and King is also in you. who is much more powerful than any conscience. Ephesians 4:4, it says, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Here's the third bonding element of our church. We have one expectation. He's the one who came, died, was buried, rose again according to scriptures. Right now, he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He is living in us through the Holy Spirit. He is there giving gifts. What else is he doing? He is preparing a place for us so that where he is, we may be also. He's coming back again. So this is the one master we have, but that's not it. That's just number four. Here comes number five. We have one faith. What is the one faith? It is the one settled body of truth delivered to the saints. But more specifically, if you want to know the body of truth that we hold on to, go online to clearviewbc.org and click under the statement of faith. That's what we believe at Clearview. That's what we believe is the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. So that unites us together. Now, I know many of y'all think, I didn't even know that, but I love this church. Great. But I hope at some point in time you'll go click on statement of faith and read what faith we believe in. What else do we have? Here comes number five. One, baptism. Paul talks about in Romans about this baptism where we were baptized into his death. We were buried with him through baptism into death. And then we were raised with him to walk in the newness of life. What does baptism represent? It is our death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. That when Jesus died, I died. When he was buried spiritually, I was buried. When he rose, I have risen with him to walk in the newness of life. That's why Paul says again and again, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here's the last one, number seven. This is a seven-layered foundation that builds this common bond in this local church and in the universal church, which is we have one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We have one God the Father. What does that mean, folks? It has so many levels of application. I don't have time to go through them. But one thing it does mean, we need to get along. We need to get along. If we believe that there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, then we got to get along. You see, in the same manner, God the Father is pleased and he is overjoyed when he sees the family getting along. So when there's a church who is in turmoil, people are fussing and fighting with each other, folks, get it out of here. We have one Father. And he is God the Father, who is above all, through all, and in you all. If you are willing to stand on this seven-layered foundation, please listen carefully. In this local church, at least I can say this, we can work out any other differences. If we step away from any of these layers, no amount of pretend niceness is going to hold us together. If you get away from these seven things, it doesn't matter how many functions you have. It doesn't matter how many banquets you hold. It's not going to work. It's our foundational beliefs that keeps us bonded to each other. Do you also appreciate other local bodies? I do. I have no competition. People think we do. If we belong to one universal church, and if they believe in these seven things, why would I compete with them? So, our common bond, we stand upon this seven-layered foundation. But now I want to switch gears and I want you to get your mind ready for this, because this is where it comes down to us. You can say, well, I believe all those things. But now listen to what Paul says in the very next verse. He talks about individual gifts. Our common bond, but now here are the individual gifts starting in verse 7. See, we finished in verse 6. The very next verse, Paul says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Are y'all still following the logic? We're bonded because we have these seven things in common. Having said that, we have individual gifts according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Now, let me say something about gifts for a moment. Gifts are not talents. There are some people who have a talent for certain things. They can work with wood, or they can, you know, they're good with their hands, or they're good with education. Or, you know, just the way they grew up, their family sent them to college and university, and they're more geared towards education. Talents, education, experience, those things are wonderful, but gifts are something different because gifts are supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit. Something that only He can get credit for. You cannot explain Him. And I'll tell you personally, it took me several years to understand the value of gifts in the body of Christ. You know what I used to think? Get people saved, get them serving, get them doing something, get them busy. It's more than that. There are gifts in the body. And every person who is saved has a gift, or sometimes even several gifts. And they know it. They know that they cannot take credit for that gift. It's not because that's how I was raised, or that's the kind of job I do, or that's the kind of experience I've had in life. No, gifts are something supernaturally given. I don't have time to go over all the subject of gifts. We'll be here for days. In Ephesians 4, what Paul says about gifts. Now, in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives us many gifts and how they serve in the body. But in Ephesians 4, he talks about gifts that are also offices in the church. Sometimes that can happen. Sometimes what God has gifted you with is also used in ministry as an office in the church. And that's what Paul is doing here, but also reads Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 to get the rest of the story. But let's look at it, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be, what's the word? Apostles. Who were apostles? Apostles were people in the first century who established churches along with signs and wonders and miracles. Do we have apostles today? Let me go and clear the record for you. No. What we do have are church planners. What do the church planners do? They go into big cities. They go into unreached parts of the world and they plant churches. I can go and tell you, that's not my gift. To take my wife and kids and go into some place in the city and say, here, honey, we're going to build our lives and we're going to plant a church. That's just not in me. It makes me tired just to think about it. Not my thing. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Shaw. You've been here 20 years, and don't you remember those early years of, you know, you barely had 20 people in church, and you're working two or three jobs? Listen to me. Please listen. It was never a burden. It was never a burden. Never did Nicole and I look at each other and say, man, this, I don't think this is worth it. Did we ever do that? Never. I tell you this, I really love my wife because she actually, that's why when people, especially in the millennial age, please listen carefully, working hard is part of success. She cleaned bathrooms, she cleaned toilets at a college, like a gaming area. So you can imagine how filthy those toilets were. I painted for a living, not like portraits like Picasso or anything, walls. I worked security. I was a teacher. Many of y'all were in my class. You know why it was not a chore? It was never a burden? Because it was a gift. And I'll talk about the gift in just a moment. So those are apostles. Who else do we have here? Then it says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Now, do we have the gift of prophecy? People say that, oh, I got a gift of prophecy. In the first century, the prophets were people who communicated the divine revelation of God. Why did they have to do that? Because they did not have the rest of the story. They had the Old Testament, no New Testament. So there were people on whom the Holy Spirit would come, and they would speak, and they would expound the Old Testament and say, this is who Jesus is. Folks, I don't need that anymore because I have the Bible. But something else. The prophets were not just people who got up and expounded the word and pointed to Jesus. They also had the ability and the power to speak in such a way that would bring people to repentance. We may not have prophets anymore, but we do have revivalists. These are men who go and they will go and preach. Revival preaching is not my thing. There are people who do that. I'm preaching a revival this week, one night, but that's not my thing. I'll go preach at that church, and I pray that God will move them. But that's not my thing. But these are men like Leonard Ravenhill or Manly Beasley. These were men who could go and preach the gospel and preach revivals, and the churches would get on fire. Just like the prophets. It's a gift. Also a sort of an office. Something else here. Some evangelists. In the first century, you had people like Philip the Evangelist who preached and explain the good news of salvation to the Ethiopian eunuch. Do we have evangelists today? One just died, very famous. Anybody want to give me his name? Billy Graham. Billy Graham would tell people he is not the one who would write commentaries, but fill up a stadium, and he can preach the simplest gospel. Folks, I can preach the same gospel Billy Graham did, but thousands don't come forward. But he can take the same gospel in a very clear, simple way preach. And that's why people say, man, you need to preach like, I'm like, wait, I'm not an evangelist. How many times can I get you saved? I'm a pastor. Which is the very next one. Some, what does it say? Evangelists, but some pastors and teachers, because sometimes some gifts can also be your calling, and that's been my calling. That's why I told you earlier, it was never a burden in those years. Never. You can ask the people in the church who were there at the time. Never did we say, man, we're serving you, but boy, it's a burden. No, because it's a calling. When you have a calling, it's never a chore. It's always a joy. So right now, I'm going to go do this. I know it's going to be tough. If you are in a position at Clearview where you think it's a burden to do it, quit. Because you might be mismatched, you should be doing something else. I hope not a whole lot of you do. Each of us has a gift. And now what happens? Listen to verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word equipping is katartismos, which means mending and restoring, putting things right. All of us have these gifts. And unless you see it, because it's been given to you, find it, recognize it, and start using it, we as a church will only move along on a donut tire. A donut tire is a smaller one. And what is the purpose for a donut tire? Get you to... Are y'all driving on one? Get you to the shop, okay? Get it fixed. Yeah, I've seen the same person driving a donut tire for years. I'm like, I don't know how that's working out. The problem with the donut tires is this. Don't try to drive fast. You like to drive 70 miles an hour, you drive 70 miles with that donut tire, something is about to happen. You can't go far. Don't say, well, man, you know what? Let's go to Niagara Falls today. You know, you may not make it that far. It is not efficient. Imagine that, you know, going along like this. And definitely, you may not reach the destination. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this. Until every person who claims to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior recognizes the gift that God has given to you and starts using that gift in the body, which is local body, as well as the universal body of believers, we will be trucking along with a donut tire. Folks, I don't understand how it is that if you choose Clearview as your church, all of a sudden now you have a gift that we need. You say, what if I don't choose this church and go to another one? Guess what? Organically, spiritually, the Holy Spirit has already computed that. Now you have a gift that that church needs. We're going to truck along on a donut tire. We'll never reach the potential we're supposed to reach. What is the gift that God has given to you? What is it? You say, well, I'm a teacher. I guess I need to teach kids at Clearview, you know. No, please don't. I've had teachers come to me and say, I teach kids 5 days a week. I really, truly, I'm hoping you will not put me in a Sunday school room. I'm like, trust me, I won't do that. Read Romans 12. Read 1 Corinthians 12. It's not just preaching and teaching. That's what people see immediately. I want to be here. Let me talk to you about the Word of God. I can... No, sometimes, you know what the gift is also? Giving. Sometimes the gift is service. We have Fall Festival coming up. It's not my gift, but there are people who are designing boards to play games on, and they'll be out there. Our common bond, our individual gifts, our joint impact. When we recognize these gifts and start using them, what's going to happen? Listen to this, verse 13. And I really want every person, especially those who think you know the Bible, you're spiritually mature, I want you to pay attention to that verse. Listen to what it says. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I know Paul is saying a whole lot there, but what he's saying is, when you begin to use these gifts in this body with a common bond, you're going to come to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. A lot of words there. Let me say it very quickly. When you are serving, using your gifts in the body, local body, universal church body, somehow your spirit of discernment goes up. Here's something positive. Listen to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Show me a person who is harsh. Show me a person who is blunt, hurts people's feelings, acts in odd ways, and I'll show you a person who is not using their gifts. Put that verse back up. But speaking the truth in, it is in the context of using your gifts when you have a common bond. The seven-layered bond with individual gifts being used, now you're speaking the truth in love.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. God has called us together as a church for a reason, and we can accomplish more collectively than we ever could individually. Figure out what gifts God has given you and use them for the good of our church, our community, and for His kingdom. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org, and for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadonshaw.com.